In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Because the Transfiguration is such a big feast, there is a pre-festival period, and we're in that period now where there are hymns about the Transfiguration, which is Friday. It's not tomorrow, but there are still hymns about it in the Vespers tonight. And one of the most important take-homes from the Transfiguration story is this. There's a lot of theology that should be understood. Jesus showed He's truly God, and there was an epiphany, a theophany of the Father and of the Spirit together with our Lord. And there are things that are very important about why Moses and Elias were with Him and other things. But what's really important is that this is a harbinger of things to come. This is what we are going to be like. We will see the divine light, the uncreated light of God. And we also see what it is like to be in the presence of the divine, uncreated light of God and to not be pure. That's what happened to the apostles. The three that were on the mountain were overcome. They were perplexed. They were frightened. They were stupefied. They fell back. They fell asleep. Peter started talking out of his head, not knowing what he was saying. This is because they were in the presence of God, seeing Him as He is, but they weren't ready yet. Now, these were His closest friends. They'd been with Him for 3 years. He taught them many things. He loved them. Certainly, one must say that He forgave them their sins. So it is not forgiveness of sins that makes a man capable of being in the presence of the uncreated light. It is the change from within that happens, from the God-man helping us to change, the Holy Spirit abiding in us, and we becoming different, becoming purified. The apostles weren't purified yet. They were still only a little while before then. They'd argued about who was greatest, maybe a little bit after then. But in that time period, they were still jousting amongst themselves about who would be greatest, who would be able to sit on the right side and on the left in the coming of the kingdom. So this is a very important message for us. The Transfiguration shows how it will be. It doesn't exactly spell out how we get to how it will be. That is filled in by the ascetical life in the church, which is for everyone. The ascetical life is not just for people living in a desert who only eat bread once a week. The ascetical life is to take up your cross and deny yourself. Deny yourself of your passions, of your pride, so that you can have things that are worthwhile. The weightier things. The love of God, the love of neighbor. Compassion, prudence. All those sorts of things. And the service tonight sort of gives you a glimpse at it. Because in the Apostolica, the first hymn says, "Illumine with the effulgence of the virtues. Let us proceed to the holy mountain that we may behold the divine Transfiguration of the Lord." Well, the apostles were not illumined with the effulgence of the virtues when they went up the holy mountain. Well, they were good men. They loved the Lord dearly. They had left everything for Him. But they were still being formed. God was still helping them to attain what they would become. So, this hymn talks about if we want to see the uncreated light and to not be afraid and not fall back in terror, regardless of how forgiven our sins are, we must struggle to follow the virtues. Now, be careful when you hear hymns like this. Do not put it in an absolute sense. That is, if I do not have all of the virtues, I would not be able to endure being around God. Well, God is merciful to us. What is impossible with man is possible with God. But certainly we must strive for the virtues. Absolutely, a person who does not strive for the virtues cannot rightly be called a Christian. So we must be illumined with the effulgence of the virtues. It's not the only time we get to say effulgences in this church services. It's really a beautiful word. So evocative. Because the virtues should be such that they just are emoting from us. Love and peace. Wisdom should be present when we enter the room. So this is the way to be in the presence of God and to not be afraid, to struggle for the virtues. Now there is one other stikos from the Apostika I want to mention. The last one, desiring to transform Adam's nature, Christ now ascendeth Mount Tabor, that he might disclose his divinity to the initiates of his mysteries. So the transfiguration was both a revelation and also part of the process of making the change. So revelation of his divinity, but he did it not just to show his divinity. He did it also to prepare the apostles and to assist in the change of human nature to be able to be in the presence of divinity without any curtain covering the divinity. So this is a process, brothers and sisters. It happens over time. This is what Christianity is all about, is becoming capable to be in the presence of God and to behold Him, the only beauty in the entire universe, and to be at peace, to be unafraid. This happens if we struggle against our passions and sins and struggle for righteousness. I mention again, it's important not to make this absolute in terms of, if I don't become perfect, I couldn't be in God's presence. That's legalism. No one is perfect compared to God. So when we say we become perfect, that's a relative term. No one is perfect except God. Therefore, we approach perfection. As long as you are struggling against your sins, as long as you do not make excuses for your sins, then God will help you and you will continue that process of ascension to the summit of the virtues, so that when God makes himself evident to all of us as he is, we won't be afraid. This is what the Transfiguration can, along with all of the teachings of the church to fill in the background, teaches us. We will be in the presence of God and see the uncreated light. But there is a process to get us there. And that process is struggling for the virtues. And God will help us. Not because we must attain certain virtues or else we're going to go to hell. Because that's just legalism. We can't attain enough virtues to be worthy of God. But we must struggle. Because if we call him Father, then let us act like his children. So may God help us to do this. Amen.